We have a special treat today. I'm going to introduce our guest speaker in just a moment. But before I do that, the first thing I want to let you know is that what Samer just said, if you're interested in about knowing about Mosaic and you are also interested in becoming a member of Mosaic, you need to take this class. Catch this. It starts next Sunday at 9 a.m. in the back. Okay, Vanessa and I will be teaching that next week, starting at 9 a.m., 3 weeks next week. Be back here to start that. You don't have to take it to be a member. You can take it if you don't want to be a member just to know about us, but if you want to be a member, you need to take two of the classes. So next Sunday, 9 a.m. back here, we'd love to see you for an hour before service. We'll have a little class together, okay? Please mark that on your calendar. Secondly is tonight we have a party, a New Year's Eve party. Anybody like to party? Am I the only one? Healthy party. So for those of you who need a ride, we are meeting here at 6:30 in the vans to take you over to Dr. Ron. Wave Dr. Ron. And I think that's 790 Seminole. Is that right? 790 Seminole in Indian Village. If you're going directly there, it starts at 7 p.m. But we're meeting here at 6:30. It's a potluck. Bring a dish to pass if you're able. Going to have a good time tonight as a church. So be able to be a part of that. I'm excited about that. Men, how many of you like to eat? Any men like to eat? Which men don't like to eat? How many men like to eat? Raise your hands. Come on. How many men like to eat and it's free? Raise your hands. Next Saturday, this Saturday coming up, 9 a.m., we are going to have men's breakfast here. Chris will be leading that. So be here at 9 a.m. for next Saturday for our men's breakfast coming up. I want to be able to make note of that. And lastly, Deborah, will you stand up? Deborah is the individual who, with her team, decorated this beautiful place that we have today. Okay, now she needs your help. She does have a team, but she doesn't know if she have. We have about 10 people out today with the flu, and she wants to actually take our decorations down today. So if you have an hour or so after the church, that's the lady to see. We need people to sacrifice and serve. This is a volunteer church. We don't pay. We do this all out of the love for Jesus. So if you have some extra time after church and you'd like to help take down the tree, et cetera, and all the things, we need men to be able to use ladders and things. So see Deborah after service. We'll get onto that immediately after service, okay? And I appreciate that. Well, let me introduce Pastor Jason Full. I'm coming up here, Jason. Jason has been preaching on and off at Mosaic since we launched for a year and a half. For those of you, because we're a church grow, a lot of you are newer, and you may not know him since the last time he spoke, because we continue to grow. But Jason was my youth pastor at my old church. And so we've had this the fun story where he was working in another industry, and I said, man, you need to come and work for me. He's been in youth ministry ever since. Now works for Youth for Christ in the area, specifically Macomb County, leading that ministry. But his ordination is in our denomination. His membership is at Mosaic. He helps with our youth along with Sean and a few others every Wednesday night. But he's also a really good communicator and a preacher. I need to have a break sometimes. Jason's been wonderful to be able to kind of relieve me of that. But also, I think you get tired of hearing me every week. It's nice to hear somebody else bring God's word. Thank you. I get tired of hearing myself. I can only imagine what you say. I don't want to hear it as it relates to that. But Pastor Jason Fulham is an incredibly gifted communicator, a lover of God, a great leader, and we're privileged to have him to be able to open God's word to us, especially the last Sunday of the year. So let me pray for him. Would you bow your heads? Lord, as Jason brings your word today, I pray you'd make it living and active and you would use it in his life. And I give him to you and pray you'd bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you put your hands together, Mosaic, and welcome Pastor Jason Fulham.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning. You know, I as I come before you, just hearing the power of testimony and the power of God change in many of your lives, I feel like when I say have church, I think you know what I'm talking about. Like, because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about change, a difference. And some of you may be sitting there and saying, well, you know, I'm looking back on 2017 and wasn't all that great. In fact, when that ball drops tonight, some of you are going to be celebrating even more so because you're ready to move on. You heard Sean, he already in 2018. So, right? And just think about it. In about 10 or so hours, there's this grand big momentum to get to the new year, to the new start. And I want to point back to what Pastor Mick said and what Samer said also earlier. You see in your bulletin some things that you can get plugged in and get involved in. I got to tell you, when Pastor Mick, and I always share this story, when he called me into ministry, God called me into ministry, but when he offered me that opportunity, we took a ride in that old gray Buick. Remember that? We were headed down to the hospital there off 94. Was that St. John? St. John, I think? Yeah. To do a visit. And he looked at me and said, you know, I want you to start preaching. And I looked at him and I said, no. Well, Pastor Mick is not the kind you're going to tell no if God is involved. You know what I'm saying? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And he did this thing. It was so cool. There was kind of a long moment of silence. And he goes, why don't you pray about it while I'm driving? So that was telling me I'm not off the hook. It's not just going to be a quick no. So literally maybe about 10 minutes later, just before we got to the hospital, he asked me again, so how's the prayer been going? By the end of that car ride on the way home, I said, okay. Right? And I still had those doubts. I still had those worries. But I said, okay. And I praise God for using that man to be so instrumental in my life. So you, Mosaic, you know we have an amazing pastor. Let's put our hands together for him and give God glory. Come on. Give God glory. God glory for what he is doing through him, his ministry here, and his family. I'm going to try to keep it together because having the honor to pray over Michaela Veach this morning was pretty cool because the last time, I always have this image of her with these big glasses, little bitty fifth grader who just came from Azerbaijan, who just gave me this look, and Mickey runs up to me and hugs me, but Michaela's just kind of giving me the side eye, let me see what this guy's about, and now God is getting ready to take her to places she hasn't even dreamed about. I love it. Well, this morning, I got to tell you, this message is not going to be totally revolutionary, but for some of you, it may be. This message, you may say, okay, I've heard something like this before, but where I want you to key in on this last Sunday, December 31st, 2017, I want you to key in on where does 2017 meet you? Think about it. And if you're jotting down, you got the other side of your where those events are, jot down a couple notes. I'm going to give you three quick points, and we're going to go to the table and have a time of communion. But in this time, Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Look within yourself. Look over the last year and ask yourself, where does 2017 meet me? Because in order to move forward, what do we have to do, church? Look back. It's okay. For some of you, I don't want to look back. I got to keep it moving. I get it. But it's important to look back, to look where God showed up and maybe where you're still praying for God to show up. To look where God has taken you and maybe where you're still praying for God to take you. Does that make sense? This means yes. That's good. Where is God taking me? That's a good question to ask. 3 points I'm going to give you. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be in verses 12 through 16. Just a few verses I'm going to read in just a second. But I want to ask this question before I read this scripture. Aren't you glad Christmas is over? No, I'm saying, you guys, I didn't expect that response. You guys, let me do that again. Aren't you glad that Christmas, it's okay. It's okay. It's not that we love Jesus Christ. We're in church, y'all. It's okay. But it's been a week, and some of y'all ain't been out of y'all pajamas in, you know, 3 or 4 days. You done stayed at home. Some of you had to go to work. I get it. Some of you drank your coffee and watched TV, and you looked at, my wife, you looked at the Christmas tree, and like, we got to take it down. She can't wait. It's going to be tomorrow, 6 a.m. We're going to be up taking the decorations down. Not that we don't like Christmas, but you get to that point, you've had the festivities and you've celebrated and you had time with your grandkids and nieces and nephews and families, but you get to that point, you look at the tree and it's time, right? Well, for some of you, you're probably thinking about 2017 the same way, right? You're thinking like, I just want to drop the ball, 2018, fresh start. Amen. There we go. That's it. Amen. Fresh start. Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I had already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, has called us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Come on, y'all. We must hold on to the progress we have already made. Hold on. Paul is writing this, and if you know the book of Philippians, he's actually in jail writing this to the Philippians. He's encouraging them, and throughout all the letters, this, in fact, this is one of my favorite, and I love to preach this, and I thank you, Mick, for the honor of being able to preach this, but my life verse, that verse that I've essentially lived my life by for the last 10 years, Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenward. That has been my verse, because we don't forget where God has brought us, amen? Now, in a couple of hours, you're going to see some traditions, right? The ball drop. How many of you are going to watch it? I don't care whether you watch it on 2, 7, 4, whatever. How many of you are going to watch the ball drop tonight? Some of y'all going to be in bed. It's okay. I know you're tired. But we watch this ball drop, and literally, it's interesting because they've said this year the security measures, just with all that's going on in the world, are just staggering. In fact, even more so than when we went from 1999 to the year 2000. How many of you remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. That was the craziest time. I remember going to the store, and there was no water at the store. You guys remember? I would go to Meijer, and I'm like, where's the water? And literally, people were freaking out. They're like, okay, we don't know what's going to happen. And in truth, Paul, as he writes this letter in jail, he doesn't know what's going to happen to him, but he's willing to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's willing to take a chance. He's willing to take a leap of faith for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tradition. That ball will drop. Did you realize that there's a history behind the ball drop? In fact, 1907 was the first ball drop. It only had 100 lights. 100 lights. And in fact, it was a diversion from everyone doing fireworks. They didn't want people doing fireworks, and there was a lot of calamities. So they actually put this little bitty ball together with 100 lights, and they dropped it. And all of a sudden, here we are in 2017, right? 100 years later, right? And the ball drops more than 100 lights, more very demonstrative and everything. What about different traditions for New Year's? In Norway, you have this tradition of find the almond rice pudding. I read this. It is. Basically, around the house, you hide almond rice, and whoever finds the almond rice is blessed with a great New Year. For the African-American culture, some of you know one of my favorite things. I won't look at my wife because I really want them so bad, and I got to find them before I go. But I love black eyed peas. Maybe I'm the only. Anybody else? Come on, Miss Helen. There she is. Yes. I love them. You could get tonight, and if you know anything about the African-American culture, you have a bowl of black eyed peas and rice. Yes. If you don't know what they are, fine. It's plenty of places around here. Find a soul food place. Get some. They're so good. You got like them, Miss Helen? And if you ever make some, I'm coming over, okay? Just saying. That's a dish unto itself. Tradition. The song Old Anxiety, Times Gone By, was written by Robert Burns in the 1700s. It was never intended to be a holiday song. Did you know that? Nobody really. I challenge somebody, as you walk out and as you're signing up in the back, sing the whole song. That's what everybody does. Nobody knows the words. Some of you might. If you know most of the words, see me at the back. I'd love to hear. Some of you, there's always one person. I know them all. Don't Google it or Wikipedia it either. All y'all over here. I know what's going on. But these are traditions that we see in our society that herald the start of a new year. Excitement, joy. But then there's the flip side, right? Worry. People, where are we going to be next year? What's going to happen? Lord, please don't let anything happen. We pray this. Lord, don't let anything happen in Times Square or anything, because if it hasn't crossed your mind, it must have with all that we're dealing with in our world right now. Government debt, healthcare, educational system, family stresses, safety and welfare of our loved one, international threat. All of this stuff can permeate our minds and get us off the focus. We sang a song that says, Spirit of the Living God. We need to be saying that time and time again. You see, as Paul writes this letter, he says, he begins by saying, I don't mean to say that I have already got what I needed. That's important, church. As you walk and you talk and you tell people your story, and I love this time of testimony that we had, because that's where it really matters. When you can say, you know what? God has changed some things in my life in 2017. God has moved me from here to here. It becomes all that much easier. Even in preparation for this message, I got to tell you, I don't get to preach a lot. So with a preacher who doesn't preach a lot, you build up a lot. So we might be here 5 hours. I'm just joking. You're not going to be here that long. Just two. No, I'm joking. But think about it. When you got something to say, get it out. And let people know the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. Amen? Let people know that, you know what, I got up in minus, what is it outside, 58,000 degrees, whatever it is, I done lost track. And I said, I need to be in the Lord's house on December 31st, 2017 to start my day the best way possible. Does that make sense? Amen. 3 points I want to give you guys. As Paul is trying to give us hope in the midst of suffering, hope in the midst of things to come. Looking ahead to 2018, this should be our response. The first point, you can write this down. God is calling us to be spiritually healthy. You've got a lot of avenues happening here at Mosaic that can help you be spiritually healthy, but bottom line, are you getting into His Word? That's a challenge I renew myself year after year after year. Are you getting into His Word? Philippians 3, 12 through 13, the biggest misconception about Christians and where Paul hits it right on the point is they've arrived. None of us in this room have arrived. We don't have it all together. Anybody else have it? Anybody in this room have it all together? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. We don't. We are a work in progress. Everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, wherever God has you, we are a work in progress. And it's up to us to maintain that spiritual health. How do we do that? Well, I'll liken it onto physical health, right? How many of you know what it means to be physically healthy? Raise your hand. Well, I got to tell you, y'all going to have to pray for me because I learned something 3 months ago. I was reading, and at age 44, I kind of had to do like this. I told my wife, after the first of the year, I got to go get my eyes checked. But I've been reading all my life, all them years of comic books, done caught up to me, y'all. Help me. But it was one of those moments, and I was looking at the words, and the words were kind of blue. I said, wait a minute, right? We understand physical health when it catches, and it was one of those, some of you are like, you know, I've worn glasses all my life, and I wore glasses when I was 10, but you know, I always read, you know, I'm in my 40s, I got my, I can see, I'm going to have to get the large print Bible now. Thank you, light guy in the back, this is good lighting, I can see, it's wonderful, wonderful. And my dad, you know how dads can be, right? My dad looks at me, he cracks up. He said, you know, I was around your age when that happened to me and I had to get glasses too. I was like, oh. We get the concept of spiritual health from physical health. We know when something's not right in our body. When you've had the flu or you've had a cold or you've been sick or you went through a surgery, you know when something's not right. In that same sense, look at your spiritual health. And what Paul is saying here, you want to look ahead. We want to look ahead to 2018. Are you spiritually healthy? Do you have a balance? Are you getting into God's word? What's your sleep schedule like? I was joking with you guys over here. I said, man, I think this last week between Christmas and New Year, I think people got more sleep than they got all year. Anybody been there? It's like, man, you woke up refreshed. I'm not saying you got to sleep all the time. I'm saying balance it out. Sometimes that means you need to go to bed on time. Amen? Because you know you got to get up in the morning. I personally am a morning person. I get up and I get in the Word early because that's that quiet time. I just like that. Some of you are late birds. If that's you, then do it late at night if that works for you. What is that balance like? Sleep, fun, family, ministry, spiritually healthy. Here's a question. Have you been eating, and I'll explain it in a minute, Twinkies or apples? I love this analogy. I love Twinkies. Not this new stuff with all the other stuff. I want the original Twinkie. Know what I'm talking about? But have you been eating Twinkies or apples? Twinkies have really no nutritional value whatsoever. I'm sorry. Some of you are going to have them today and you're going to think you did. No. But apples have nutritional value. You can't survive on a life full of Twinkies. Don't test me on this, please. I don't want to be on the news. Right? That pastor said you could. No, don't. You can't. You need nutrition. And in that same way, Paul is saying, listen, I have not achieved all this, but you need to be spiritually healthy and figure out what that looks. If you weren't in 2017, then be that in 2018. Does that make sense? If you struggled with it through the first 6 months of 2017, but the last 6 months were better, keep that progression going. Paul is not enacting judgment at this point. Do you catch that? He's looking at them in all humility. Having been a great minister of the gospel, going from town to town, writing letter upon letter, and now in jail, he's saying, listen, you need to be spiritually healthy, not because I obtained it, verse 12, but because I'm still working at it. Make sense? Spiritual health. How often do you get in the Word? How often do you spend time with Jesus? Committing to your soul food. I love the term soul food because for me, that conjures some other, that Black Eyed Peas exam takes me back there. And I can remember being a kid. There are different dishes I like, but there's certain, my grandmother, my Lord and Savior, Jesus, I know she's in heaven cooking right now, waiting for all of us to get there. But for New Year's, she would cook. She would have, I'm going to throw some stuff out. Y'all may not know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to throw it out there. Some oxtail soup. I know it sounds gross, but it was so good. Oxtail soup, some collard greens, cornbread, banana pudding. And she made, yes, y'all hungry now. Y'all go to lunch in a minute. It'd be all right. But we understand that soul food, that stuff, after you eat, you just kind of sit there. Know what I mean? You can't move. Don't want to do, no. Just give me 5 minutes to sit there. Some of y'all going to go home tonight and have soul food. In that same sense, Paul is saying, you know what? Scripture is our soul food. You want to be spiritually healthy? Plug in and see where God takes you. Well, I don't know where to read the Bible. You got a number of people here that can give you some suggestions. I don't know. Surround yourself with the men and women of God who can kind of lead you and push you. As dear brother shared over here, how his life has been changed and that aspect of worrying that he had. Is it still there? Are the problems still there? Yeah. But do you worry like you did? No. We get to that point in our lives that we can say, you know what? I want God to lead me. There are no easy fixes. Paul is clear. No easy fixes. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection. This is the end of verse 12. For which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I'm still moving toward him. And that's what 2018 needs to be for us. It's funny, and some of you will liken this. When I say 2018, it's even weird to say that date. Anybody there that you've been on this, you're under 20, you're like, I don't know what he's talking. But stay with me here. 2018, I thought like 2000, but that time it just goes. And it goes, and it's like, man, 2018. We don't have flying cars yet. It's not the Jetsons. That's all right. But it's fascinating to me that the word of God still speaks now. Think about it. As much as people want to criticize at church and the word of God still speaks now, and he's speaking to you right now. What is your spiritual health like? Point two, and you can write this down. Not only does God call us to be spiritually healthy, but he calls us to experience true community. True community. Many of you would say here at Mosaic, you have had that, and I praise God. And if you haven't, you can have it. Even as you sit there and you say, oh, you know, I don't know anybody or I'm not really connected, get connected. There are avenues for you to get connected. True community. And let me clear this up. I was praying about this yesterday. True community is not just that casual conversation you have walking outside those doors. Follow me here. That's a wonderful thing, and it's good to connect. But true community is actually sitting down over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and just talking about the change that God has made in your life and allowing the other person to talk. That's true community. True community is being vulnerable, and that is so hard for us in 2017. Let's not make it hard in 2018. Does that make sense? Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it focused. I press on to reach the end of the race, the symbolism behind that verse. You see, if Jesus Christ doesn't make a difference in our day, how are we wanting to want him to make a difference in our lives? Think about it. It needs to be a daily journey. So not only spiritual health, but looking at 2018, what is true community like for you? And if you don't have it, if you feel disconnected, then it's time to find it. That makes sense? It's kind of an easy notion. I told you, this is not going to be uber challenging, but what I want you to get from this is, do you have true community in your life? I said earlier that 3:14 of Philippians was my life verse, but God has been kind of doing a different spin of that. He said, you know, that's great, and that's a verse that defines your life. And now I've been searching through Scripture for a verse, like a yearly verse, like a yearly Bible story. And so far, I've been in the book of Psalms with David, because David, man, that's some powerful stuff if you read it. We did that in youth a couple of weeks back, where we were walking through the book of Psalms and reading a couple of scriptures. And I got to right around Psalm 56, and I got to Psalm 112, and just watch David just have this dialogue with God. So I don't know what that verse looks like for me, and maybe that's a challenge to you. Yes, spiritually healthy, but you want true community? Getting into Scripture and allowing that to lead you, whether that's in your workplace, whether that's here at Mosaic, wherever that's at. So how do we do as a nation with these type of goals? Well, what you'll hear at the forefront, and I think every news program has carried in the last 24 hours, is a diet. You got to get on a diet. Right? How many of you heard that on the news at some point? Diet, workout. And you know, I love to say I work out, but my only workout consists of the fork to the mouth, and that's about it. I'm starting to get that dad bod, Mick. You called it on me about 4 years ago. I was looking in the mirror, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of looking like my dad. Not that that's a bad thing, but I said, you know, what does that mean? That's in our society, it says you have to work out and you got to eat right. And what's interesting about all these programs they have, they're either too impossible or too easy. You ever notice that? Like, you'll see a commercial, it's like, wow, I have to eat cardboard for the rest of my life? No, don't want to do that. Or you just get to eat everything you want. And what's cool about this scripture, what we see from this scripture, when it comes to true community, God has the perfect recipe planned. Think about it. And that recipe is meant to be lived out in each and every one of our lives. The perfect recipe, and that is the Word of God. But each year, people will set goals. And I used to have this thing where I say, okay, New Year's resolutions, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And I vacillated back and forth. But to be totally honest, I think it's important to set goals, not only for yourself, but for your family. You want to lead your children more in more spiritual directions. You want to lead yourself. First, you got to lead yourself. You want to get in the Word more. That's where true community can occur. A men's breakfast, a ladies' hangout, a young adult hangout, a youth hangout. That's where community happens. We can't be afraid. Now, I had this experience. You talk about true community a couple of weeks ago, and it was, maybe some of you have had it, but matter of fact, most of you probably had it, but me and my wife got stranded in an airport. How many of you have been stranded in an airport before? In fact, it was right when that first major snow hit, and New York, I guess, got hit kind of hard, and it was the month just before Thanksgiving, and so they canceled our flight. We had a layover in LaGuardia, and then we were coming to Detroit, and they canceled our flight. And in that moment, my wife and I were in, let's see, 80-degree weather, and we were flying to, like, 20-degree weather. I was all right with that. I was okay. So I just kind of started watching people. We were all in the same line because our layover was in New York. And as people were walking in and they were getting word that their flight got canceled, there was like anything from mass panic to there was one young lady that was walking with her ticket like this. It's canceled. She was just walking around like aimlessly. And I was watching, and it was interesting to me because Shelly and I didn't really have to be at a certain place at a certain time. But for people who did, they needed to go. And in that moment, you talk about having true community, where there was a lady in front of us in line, and we began a conversation with her. She was flying to Newark, and she needed to get back, and she ended up getting some arrangements so that she could get back. But we were in line, and we were able to have true community in that conversation with her. But the other aspect of that that really got me was right here, right now, on this earth in 2017, we're like that airport. This, and I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about this world is not our final destination. Could you imagine having to live in an airport with all that chaos? Take your belt off, take your shoes off, all this. Could you imagine having to live in chaos when not getting to your destination? And as I stood there, I thought, I said, our world is like an airport. I don't want to stay in an airport. Anybody? I don't. I want to get to the destination that God has planned for me. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting there and saying, you know, I got so much going on in my life. I got so much drama. You know what? Don't stay there. Allow God to lead you through there. Because if we're not careful, we will lack true community. And we will be out of control. I don't like the feeling of being out of control. Does anybody like that? For some of you, you're like adrenaline junkies, get on the roller coaster. That's not me. Even on a plane, my wife will tell you, as soon as that plane's coming down, I'm grabbing onto something. I just don't like that feeling. Right? That out of control mentally and that out of control spiritually goes back to that first point. True community brings about that level of control in our lives. You have an avenue provided here week after week at Mosaic, and I'm sure Mick has said it time and time again. You can't depend on just here. This is great. You get your gasoline, you go out there, you change the world. But it's not just here. It has to be a daily practice. If that Bible of yours or that app of yours that has a Bible on it doesn't open other than when you come through those doors, then you got to reevaluate some stuff. True community will allow you the avenue of being able to not only relate with one another, but more importantly, relate with God. Does that make sense? Very simple. Third point, you could write this down. Not only are we called to be spiritually healthy, are we called to have true community, but we're also called, and I kind of stole this term from a sermon that Pastor Mick did some years ago, find your sweet spot. Find your sweet spot in serving Jesus Christ. So not only spiritually healthy, not only having true community, but we're called to find our sweet spot. What is that sweet spot? What is that spot that fires you up? There was a clip, and you can check it out later, but one of my favorite movies was Schindler's List. And some of you have seen it. It's an older movie, but fascinating movie. But just to give you the context of this man, Oscar Schindler, who during World War II was a war profiteer. And in fact, he made his money off the backs of just all that was going on. He kind of maintained this anonymous feel, so to speak, if you catch my drift. He, you know, the Nazis were doing their thing, and he wanted to make money. That was what he was about. But he has this inner turmoil that begins to happen when he sees the injustice that's going on. And in that injustice, he begins getting people out, a la Harriet Tubman, Underground Railroad, that type of thing. And as he gets people out, there's a scene that is so powerful where he realizes all of these faces, he was able to have an effect on their lives. And probably the scene that gets me the most, there's this button that he wears. It's like a little pin that he got, and it was worth a lot. He takes the pin off, and he's so focused on this pin and saying, you know what? This could have saved 4 more lives. You see, he didn't want to stop it. This could have saved 4 more human beings. And he has this almost crisis in himself in saying, you know what? It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's not about how people see me. It's about people. That was his sweet spot. He found his sweet spot through an extraordinary situation. And he went on to lead so many people away from the Nazi concentration camps by giving them jobs and giving them shelter. So what's your sweet spot as we look at 2018? What is your sweet, what is that thing that gets you, just spiritually, it just gets you going? For some of you, it may be scripture. For some of you, it may be prayer. For some of you, it may be coming alongside people who are bereaving. For some of you, it may be coming alongside people who are struggling or divorced or whatever. What is that spot for you? Find it and allow God to use it. You see, the disciples had to do that too. Paul had to do that too. His whole life was not meant to go out. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew the rules. But he said once that he had that X9 experience, God had changed his life so much, he realized, I've got to go forward. I've got to go forward. I've got to lead, and I've got to be who God has called me to be. Not only being spiritually healthy, not only finding true community, but also I've got to find my sweet spot and what that looks like. Were you too planned in 2017? That's not something I really struggle from, but okay. You know, was your calendar too full, like hour after hour? And some of you, maybe that's where you were. Was it something to just with this year that just you look back and it's like, oh, it just doesn't sit right with me? Here's a couple of ideas. A couple of ideas, and I'm sure there are plenty more if we went around the room. But maybe, you know, as we go into 2018, many of you will resume work, whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday, resume school, whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Put some things in your schedule that allow you to find that sweet spot with God. I saw this thing that said on the news that talked about taking a coloring book and coloring during your lunch break. Relieve stress. Some of you are going to be writing like this, right? Taking a coloring book, those of you who are in school, same thing. Taking a coloring book to school with you and actually coloring while you eat your lunch. It actually relieves stress and gets you to focus on something else. You go to a dollar store and get a coloring book for a buck. Think about it. I never thought about it. I'm actually going to try that. Just not that I'm stressed, but it's good just to get your mind focused on something different. Taking a weekend off into winter months. We always get summer and people do vacations, but actually taking a weekend if you're able to, if your job allows you to, taking a weekend off and doing something fun, surprising yourself. Again, how do we find that sweet spot? We have to have the time to do it. And when we're so structured and so busy, right? You'll leave here in a few moments and you go on to the next thing and then you build up to this thing and that thing and then tomorrow. And it's like, oh my gosh, you look around, it's like those years have gone by and gone by and gone by. Take the long way home. Now, I live about 40 minutes away, so that's never hard for me. But even you in this area, just admiring. What was kind of cool as we were driving here, Jackson looks up and sees all the buildings in downtown Detroit and he is just fascinated with them. Buildings, buildings. That's something my wife and I see all the time, you know, when we come downtown. But for him, it was like so cool. So we just take a drive and just drive around. And instead of, I know this is going to be hard. I know it is. And I know it's minus 58,000 degrees outside. I get it. But summer will be here soon. And I bet you will enjoy it more, right? Just do that. Do that, right? Think about the hottest day of summer last year. The hottest day when it was so hot. And everybody, yeah, think about right now. See the comparison? Summer will be back. Sunshine. And we got sunshine. The early church had a lot of things. They had poverty. They had oppression. Paul writes to them and says, you know what? Don't let it get you down. Don't let it take you out of who you're called to be. In a few moments, we'll go to this table and we will do and remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Think about it. Those 3 points I gave you, spiritual health as you pray and you have that time as Holly leads in just a little time of worship. True community, gathered together as one family around a table. And then finding that sweet spot in your journey, in your relationship with Jesus Christ. What does that look like? We often think it has to be extravagant, don't we? Someone's called to the mission field or someone's called to ministry, and those are amazing calls. But maybe it's just, I gotta take a bigger stand within my family. I gotta rely on God in this area. What is that sweet spot for you? Despite all they had to deal with, the community of believers realized that it's about God. The community of believers realized that sermon after sermon, if you ever think about this, message after message that Pastor Mick preaches, it relates. And you can look back and say, wow, that's it. Follow where God is calling you to follow. So here we go, friends. Can we love each other more? Can we be sacrificial? Can we give that hug that maybe lasts a couple of seconds longer because we don't know if the person on the other end really needed a couple of seconds or not? Can we look a person eye to eye and say, how are you really doing? Can we say, not only I'm praying for you, but let's stop right now and pray? Goals. Nothing wrong with them. And this is the cool thing. We serve such a gracious God that when we don't achieve those goals, he is right there to say, okay, didn't do so good there, but let's do good next year. And that's all right. Spiritually healthy, true community, are you willing to find your sweet spot? I want you to bow your heads. As we prepare for this time called communion, I'm gonna pray and then Pastor Mick and Miss Vanessa are gonna come up and lead this time. But as you bow your heads and with your eyes closed, Heavenly Father, I wanna ask for that person that sits there, for that person that is just uncertain of their relationship with you or your guidance in their lives, or that person that can look back on 2017 and say, yep, you know, man, God was really there. He really showed up, but he didn't show up in this area. I pray right now, strength for them. I pray, God, that you will guide them, Lord, to become more spiritually healthy, to really have true community, and Lord, to find that sweet spot in their relationship with you. And I pray that everyone's prayer is start with me, Lord. Start with me. Let it filter out not only from me, but through my family and through my church family and through my neighborhood and through my city and through the world. That's how it works. But start with me. Those areas that I haven't done so well in, help me do better. Those areas that I've done great in, help me do better. Those areas where I should have loved but I didn't, help me do better. Those areas where I should have served, but I was a little reluctant, help me do better. Those areas where I should have fallen to my knees, help me do better. In those areas where I should have brought to the table as I took of your body and your blood, help me to do it now. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. You're an amazing God. And be with us in this time and in this moment. In the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, we pray. And God's people said,
amen. Amen.